Good day. Welcome to our podcast. My name is Rob Higgins, and this is the first in a series of podcasts that we're going to produce. And when I say we, I mean our trusty producer, Neva Chow. Some of you may know us from the rock combo Dearly Beloved that we tour with quite a bit. Maybe some folks are tuning in because they've listened to the fantasy hockey radio show that we've done, well, not Neva and I, but Boomer and I at Sirius XM for the past 9 seasons. Remains to be seen what happens there this year. A lot of change. We're still talking. So if you're wondering, that seems to be the state of affairs there. And maybe some other folks read my book. I wrote a book back in 2010 and 11, called the Higgins Fantasy Index. Regardless of how you managed to find us, welcome. Thanks for tuning in. We are going to try to do these every Monday and producing it here right in Toronto, where we live in my house. Phoebe Street is a studio that our band Dearly Beloved uses to record. And we now use for this fantasy hockey podcast. So hope you enjoy tuning in. We're going to get to some hardcore stuff off the top. Then we're going to have my good friend David Conway drop by. He's in my fantasy league, a league that's a points-based keeper league that uses a salary cap. And I have to ask him how the hell he has Dominic Moore on his team. So Dave's going to join us for a bit, and we're going to talk some stuff. I'm certainly no podcast expert. I really don't know how to put a proper podcast together, but I know that the ones that I've listened to, it can bug me when things get a little too yammery, if I can use that word, if that is your real word. So with that in mind, I thought we'd get right into some bombage. Let's drop some bombs. Drop the hammer on the one and only Sidney Crosby. That's right. Well, how do we not? If you've been paying attention to a radio show that we do over at Sirius XM, did, you know that last year was, how I felt anyways, it was the last year that Sidney Crosby should be considered as a first overall pick. That's how I felt about it. That's what I said. That's how I felt about this year, too. I was surprised to see everybody picking him as a first overall. But I can understand it because he is a reliable, trusted player that had some additions this year that you would have to think would have an improvement over last year, and he was still a pretty good player. So I can understand people having that faith. I don't have as much of it, but would it surprise me to see him go on a tear the rest of the way and end up winning the scoring title? Absolutely not. So an unfortunate start for Sid and for Phil, but Sid especially, no points at this far into, or I know it's early, but this far in, no points, Sid. I'm sorry. That is bomb worthy. And sticking with some other top 60 players, I mean, guys that were top 60 ranks in the preseason, according to some of the larger sites out there. I know Yahoo, these guys were, on Yahoo, these guys were top 60 ranks. Corey Perry, Ryan Getzlaff, drop the hammer. Rick Nash, Jakub Voracek. Look, if his hot cold halves didn't concern you at your draft this year, I'm not sure what to say. I wish I could have been there at your side to say, yo, don't go there so soon. Huge asterisk beside Voracek's name going into this season. Didn't like the consistency factor. And I know these are not ideal situations for him in Philadelphia right now. But still, a reason for concern going in. And he has not delivered. So bombs away, Jakub Voracek. Anze Kopitar. What is this? Drop the bombs. All of them. Anze Kopitar. Thank you. Anze, what are we doing here? Seriously, people in my league, other leagues, they're paying you. Someone in my league, not people. One person in particular in my league is paying you a lot of money. A lot of money. Mark Giordano. How can you do this? Mark, do you have any idea the amount of praise we've heaped on you in the last 18 months? You got the deal. We're talking about 0 points and a minus five to start the season. Drop the hammer on Mark Giordano. And our favorite pair of overpaid defensemen, fantasy hockey realm, Drew Doughty and Shea Weber, drop the hammer. If you own them, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're already sitting there looking at your roster going, ugh. Because Doughty and Weber just leave you wanting. That's what they do. Doughty, we all know, was one of the best defensemen in the NHL. And if I was starting a team today from scratch, somehow I was given an NHL franchise, damn right I'd like to have Shane. Drew Doughty running the back end? Absolutely. Do I want him the number one on my fantasy squad that I'm paying that kind of money to? Absolutely not. Okay, let's do some cherry picking. Let's get right into some positivity here. Henrik Zetterberg, what a great story. If you haven't noticed, you haven't done the eye test on the Red Wings and their early excellent returns, then just know that that is for real. Henrik Zetterberg looks healthier, more confident, more comfortable, maybe more inspired than I've seen him look in a long time. Obviously, having Larkin, on the line is going to be a benefit to pretty much anybody, but what a piece of magic those two have been early in the season. And Abdelkader, the new Thomas Holmstrom, being a perfect fit, really, and you're looking at a line that would have been straight across the board undervalued going into your draft. Zetterberg not really given the respect he deserves anymore at a draft. Larkin really underappreciated, not a lot of hype there. And Abdelkader, a lot of people looked at last year and gone, I'm not going there. Is that really going to happen again? Another great story in Detroit while we're there. Obviously, Polkinen. A lot of us wondering if he was going to get enough looks this year to bury on a consistent basis for the Red Wings. And right now, he's not getting huge minutes, but he's getting some decent looks, and he's buried three times. So not a bad start for Polkinen. Cherry-picking-wise, I have to mention Nate MacKinnon. Looks like the player I hoped he would have been last year. So thanks for showing up. Nate, if you haven't watched the games, he just looks very good with the puck, and I'm very curious to see where that goes, obviously, for many reasons. That was a tough year last year for us, Nate, but hats off to him looking great. And Stamkos, Steven Stamkos. Now, I know some folks would have had him further down the rankings after everything that went down last year. Maybe not a top five pick, maybe not a top 10 pick. I've heard people say that. I definitely wouldn't have looked at him as a top three pick this year. That's not how I would have felt about that file going into it. So, tip of the toque to Steven Stamkos, looking good early, dominating, and burying at the same time. So, liking that file a lot. Also, props to anyone that took the chance on Anisimov and Panarin. You got to be liking what's happening there. The early returns are good. I mean, especially with Panarin, you're talking about 7 points and a plus four already, and I believe he qualifies as a rookie. So if you've got him in a rookie slot, you've got to be feeling pretty good. Neva, you have him, don't you, in a rookie slot? Is that
Panarin?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
There you go. Thanks for paying attention. The next pair of players that I want to give some props to, two players that I was targeting at my draft. I didn't manage to get them. Krejci ended up going undrafted. I simply couldn't do it at the end because I didn't have the money left, but I couldn't believe he went undrafted. And, you know, as many of you know, I always look at those doom and gloom scenarios. Everyone was writing off the Boston Bruins, so the perceived value on the team was not very good. It was something that was dropping, and for me, that's an opportunity. At least that's for all of us. It's an opportunity to get in there and find some good value. And Krug and Krejci were a pair of players that, for me, had great opportunities this year. Krejci, you know, trusted by the staff, you know, an opportunity to lead the club, maybe have some, you know, have a fresh mix there and some fresh vibes. And Krug getting an opportunity, obviously, with Chara out of the lineup to start the season, especially on the power play. And sure enough, he's got 6 assists, 5 of them coming with the man advantage and a ton of shots on goal for Krug already. So considering he was, what, ranked 127th on Yahoo's ranking to start the season, which those rankings were just ridiculous to begin with. But anyways, as some barometer for you, a guy that, you know, maybe might have been lower on the priority list for many, and he's getting it done. So tip of the toque, if you will, to Mr. Krug. Hoffman, obviously, riding shotgun with Stone and Torres, getting it done, building off of what he did last year. Arizona, this is awesome. Obviously, the franchise has all kinds of issues, but how awesome that the kids, Domi and Duclair, are already making an impact. And then you've got Hanzel in the mix, and you've got even a guy like Stone sort of getting into the offensive mix on the back end a little bit lately. Oliver Ekman-Larsson still looking to capitalize on all those shots on goal a little more, but that'll come. Arizona has some good options there, and pretty excellent that they're in the conversation. Obviously, the expectations were high for Domi, and to a degree, Duclair as well, but to see them both dominating early statistically, and also when you do the eye test, it's pretty exciting. Tommy Plex, the Montreal Canadiens, one of the least sexy plays at most drafts, despite the fact that Montreal's a pretty good hockey club and they're going to be in it most nights with Carey Price and Nett. So Plekanec is never really going to hurt you. And I guess with the contract transition, so to speak, with this player, some people wondered what might come of him this year statistically. And there he is right in the mix with some of the best players in the league from a fantasy perspective. He's already got himself, I believe, 5 goals. No assists, but 5 goals already to start the season, and plus 7. Nothing coming on the power play. All getting done, even strength. He's a plus 8 in faceoff differential as well. So if you incorporate that into your league, which we do in ours, in our keeper league, that's a good thing. So hats off to Tommy Plex. A bit of a bummer is the season that is the one belonging to Thomas Tatar. This was a play for many going in, was a good value play, something that you would maybe take advantage of later in the draft, knowing that you'd have a good sneaky 25 to 30 goal score right there. And I still feel that way about the player. I think he's certainly capable of that, but it seems like Dylan Larkin's stolen a bit of that thunder, and Tatar's going to have to enjoy the depth that Detroit appears to have, especially once Pavel Datsyuk gets back into the mix. They're going to have a veritable buffet of fantasy options. And you would have to think that the puck will find Thomas Tatar and they'll start going in and have some big nights. So perhaps that's a trade target for you right there. Someone that's a little quick on the draw and might be willing to move a Thomas Tatar. We're going to talk goalies later in the podcast to wrap things up. So right now, I'd like to bring in a guest. My good friend, David Conway. He is from my own fantasy league. I've known Dave a long time, and we've had this league for a very long time. Say hello, David.
Hello, everybody.
We have had this league for almost 2 decades, and it's a keeper league. It's a points-based league. It's a lot of fun, but we do use a salary cap, so that makes it a challenge for some folks. It does make waiver wire moves a little more challenging, which is, in a way, a good mechanism because it keeps the activity down to a degree. You can't just be turning over your team all the time unless you're a mathematician or you have Excel. But
correct.
It's a little harder. But the reason I asked Dave to join us on the program here on the podcast, I should say, was because I wanted to ask him one very important question. And that is, how the fuck do you expect to win with Dominic Moore and Brian Boyle on your team? For the love of God, David, what is going on? Explain to me why I see them on your roster right now.
Okay, the Brian Boyle was a value pick. Also, two positions, and he was a plus six. So that kind of, and it was early in the season, so it's like time to take chances on those guys because lines aren't always set yet. Stuff's mixed up.
You tell me you didn't draft Brian Boyle?
No, I drafted Brian Boyle. Did I not? Probably near the end. He's $2 million. So yeah, $2 million.
Okay, right. You did draft him. You drafted Brian Boyle.
Correct. Yes, because I remember getting you to change it because you thought I said Dan Boyle. That is right.
Well, I did. I thought you... Well, when I heard Boyle, I was like, well, immediately, naturally, he must mean Dan Boyle because he is the fantasy option of the two Boyles, of those two Boyles. The two Boyles. They should start their own podcast. The two Boyles.
The boiling point.
Nice pull. Dominic Moore. Now, just clarify for me. True or false, you drafted Dominic Moore. True or false, that's all I need, Dave.
Can I plead the...
Oh, my God.
Did I?
You did.
Okay, so I did.
You drafted Dominic Moore. Okay, okay. Now, 1% of the Yahoo fantasy population agrees with you, so it's not like you're completely insane. I mean, for complete insanity, we could ask you why you have Klaas Dahlbeck on your team. 0% of the rest of us think that that's a good move. So maybe
desperate for a defenseman, salary, I think he's like 0.6. 0.6. It's like, wow.
Okay, okay. I am no esthetician, but with an 84...
Because I'd be having my nails done, too.
With an $84 million cap and 21 slots to fill, you're telling me that you have to dress Dahlbeck?
Yeah, because... You can't just dump Drew Doughty yet.
No, you can't dump. But I don't think he needs to factor into the Dahlbeck conversation.
I think he does, because how do I run with Henrik Lundqvist and Drew Doughty and those guys?
No, I understand. I agree with you. I think for every one of those guys in a cap league, you need to have another guy that's only $1 million so that you can get back to that reasonable price per slot, so to speak. But I just don't know that this is the guy.
I think that was, he's plus four, take him. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
All right, well, those...
And compared to other guys on my team, like Nick Leddy.
Wow, but, I mean, Nick Leddy has a lot of potential to be a good pointer. I mean, he's no Johnny Boychuk, but he is someone I could... I mean, 61% of the rest of the people out there agree with you when it comes to Nick Leddy as an investment, so... I think that's perfectly reasonable. It's the Dahlbeck. I mean, he's a plus four, so he's not a liability at this point. And watch, he'll come out and have like the next week or two. It'll just be amazing for him after you dump him or something with our luck. But I just don't know that Boyle and Moore are the guys you want to stick with.
No, and I believe you're correct on that. My problem is, right now, is that the value... Put those guys' salaries together. It's tough to find guys to replace that.
Well, maybe that's something we can...
Or maybe I'm not familiar with guys.
Maybe that's something we can endeavor to do together before you leave here today. This gives us a good opportunity to talk about the only hockey game Monday. That is San Jose and the New York Rangers. Considering you do have Dominic Moore, you don't want to drop him right away, so... I'm sure you'll let him play out tonight's game, because if you did drop him this afternoon, he will produce
a hat trick.
The hat trick that, the one and only hat trick that he's got left in him, perhaps.
All on power play.
The New York Rangers, interesting. I mean, in our league, guys like Zooks is available. Hayes is available in our league, which is kind of surprising. They're not expensive. And Stepan is available, which does surprise me, even though he's a big ticket now. I can't believe that these top six Rangers are still available. People are not quick to the love for the Rangers. How much money you got to spend?
$500,000
Oh, so you're...
So that is why I'm in those situations.
So you're up against the cap.
Yeah.
You're up against it big time.
Like, I'm just looking for someone to get hurt.
Patrick Sharp is a bummer story for you. Yet and to bury one.
Well, and you know what? I've heard him speak, and he talks about how he kind of misses with the Chicago guys. So he's got this he's playing with lament, and he hasn't found chemistry with anybody yet.
17 shots on goal, not a single one has gone in. And when you look at your fantasy team here, Dave, you got a lot of guys that are shooters. You got Rick Nash, 20 shots on goal, no goals. You've got Nick Foligno, 24 shots on goal, one goal. Ehlers, 20 shots on goal. He's buried once. He's a rookie. You're not going to beat him up for that. Good news that he's shooting. He's got the puck.
And he's getting lots of play there, too.
But Patrick Sharp, 17 shots on goal, and he's buried nothing. This is a sad story, and a lot of people have invested in him. Obviously, he's got the two-position thing. And Dallas expected to score a ton of goals, and they've also are already looked pretty electrifying. Spezza off to a great start. Sagan and Ben finally getting it rolling. Thank you. Needed that to happen.
They got great goaltending, too. I think it's a great goaltending. I think it's a good combo.
Well, I think it was a good move getting Niemi in there. I don't think they could do another full season with just Lehtinen and expect that to be all they need.
No, but I think they're back in goaltending balance.
Yeah, and Niemi's probably a better play for them and for you, for me. For us all, Antti Niemi, I have more faith in that guy come playoff time, too. So if Dallas manages to get in, that's a guy that's been there. He's done it. He's run the table. So, David, you say you don't like minus guys on your team, but I hate to point out that, according to my producer, Neva Chow. There she is, ladies and gentlemen. Let's introduce our excellent producer, Neva Chow. Dave Conway, according to our producer...
I have
10 minus guys on your team, Dave. Why are you doing this to yourself? As a friend, I want to know.
Well, unfortunately, these guys that we're also dogging are the plus ones. Rick Nash, -3. It's really tough to get rid of Rick Nash.
How many times have you wanted to drop Rick Nash in this money league?
Twice a day.
Like, he must be the most infuriating guy to own, right?
Because, you know what? I don't remember how I acquired him. But it certainly wasn't just a straight pickup. Like, it came in some kind of trade years ago.
Are you saying I traded him to you?
No.
I don't think I traded him.
Have you ever had Rick Nash?
I don't think I've ever had Rick Nash on my team.
No.
No, I think that was an Armstrong trade back in the days when he had that soured franchise.
At William Armstrong Public School?
Yes, under the turtle. What can I say? What can I say about Drew Doughty, -2? Drew Doughty. Duncan Keith, -2. How am I supposed to dump those guys?
Yeah, you got some big tickets just not getting it done. Doughty, Keith, Rick
Nash.
And
then -1? What's a -1 six games in?
Really? Thank God for Dominic Moore. Where would you be without Dominic Moore? Oh. Brian Boyle leads your team in +-. He leads your team in +-.
So in theory, he is one of my optimum kind of players.
In a way, I guess it's a good bench play.
And that's why I always am perpetual fourth.
Some notes for y'all. Antti Raanta playing in net for the New York Rangers tonight, Monday. That means your boy, David. Henrik Lundqvist riding the pine. So there's a bit of sunshine for you.
Perfect.
Monday fun day. Some other news bits and notes for you. Vern Fiddler, according to RotoWorld, still hanging out on the second line. You know, things have been fluid there in Dallas, as you know, David, owning Cody Eakin. So Vern Fiddler still hanging out there on the second line.
I have Patrick.
Moved from center to the wing on Saturday. He played with Jason Spezza and Nichushkin to allow Radek Faksa to make his NHL debut at his natural center position. Fiddler stayed on the second line for Monday's practice. He has no points in 5 games this season. Seems Burakovsky's getting the Muvia around treatment a little bit too. But things have been fluid there with the return of Backstrom, and I think we all knew that might be the case. And my boy, Oscar Lindbergh. There's more news about Oscar Lindbergh. There he is. Oscar Lindbergh, 5 points in 6 games. I hope he keeps it going tonight against the San Jose Sharks. One of the better rookie stories of the year so far. Oscar Lindbergh. Dave, can I trade you Oscar Lindbergh? I know you were just talking on our break about how much you love having those rookies that get it done. Let's make a trade right here on the podcast, Dave. I will trade you the one and only Oscar Lindbergh.
For?
I don't know.
Let's see.
Who are you willing to give up off this roster that's not going to cost me an arm and a leg that you think would be good return? You like him better than your boy Ehlers? Want to swap him and Nicky?
No.
Brendan Smith, a scratch on Saturday. Thomas Tatar, goalless after 5 games. Sad start. A lot of us pegged Thomas Tatar, 30-30 guy. It's just not happening quite yet. But on that Red Wings tip, and it's time for us to really look at some players here, Dave. We need to talk about some players. Stuff that has been going on to start the season. It's early. A lot of guys still haven't hit the 10-point mark yet. I mean, we've got guys right on the doorstep, a lot of them, but it appears in the early going that some of the better stories are these, in my view, David. Tarasenko, dude just keeps on rolling. 5 goals, 4 assists, +6. In our league, one of the top plays so far. Kyle Turris and Mark Stone, if you look at what happened with those two guys at the end of last season, they were nearly point-per-game plays from, what, the last 35 games or so. And I don't think going into drafts this year, people were entirely sold that these guys were going to be point-per-game players all through this regular season. But so far, Kyle Turris has turned into a monster. What a great trade for Ottawa now that it's played out this way. And Mark Stone doesn't seem to be dropping off either. He's got himself 2 goals, 6 assists. The plus-minus is great. He's getting some shots on net. He's getting a little power play action. So the Ottawa Senators loving that top line. David, you got
yes.
You got any part of that?
I have no insight. Plus, I have none of that action either.
You got none of the Ottawa action?
I have none of the Ottawa action.
David Krejci, the guy went undrafted in our league. I couldn't believe it then. I can't believe it took till a few days ago for somebody to pick him up.
But he's so hot and cold and so streaky in the past, and I think that's part of it. And who's picked him up?
The Mighty Gales.
The Mighty Gales.
So we don't have to worry about that, really. I mean,
no, but still, that's going to be disappointing. It's one of those people, once you get them on your team, it's tough to get rid of.
A couple of my favorite stories so far. Get real for a minute here. Martin Hanzel. Hanzel's so sexy right now. He is in a great spot, obviously playing with some talented younger players. Getting some looks with them anyways. Domi and Duclair getting some looks with one or two of them. And the dude has racked up 7 assists, +5. And what I like about this player, the face-off differential, +17, David. Rocking the +17 face-off differential. He's winning the draws. He's dishing. They're putting pucks in the net in Arizona. This is a good story from a fantasy perspective. From a league perspective, the team, you know, not so much still. But Hanzel, getting it done, a great story. Love to see Henrik Zetterberg, and I think this is one of the better stories, again, of the season thus far. The dude looks healthy, David. Henrik Zetterberg, for the first time in a long time, looks like he is having a good time and he's able to do whatever he wants out there. And according to what we're hearing, he says he feels better than he's felt in a while, and it appears he's enjoying having the inspiration that is the younger players making the squad and really pushing the group there. And of course, I'm referencing Dylan Larkin, who is, I guess at this point, maybe him and Panarin, Duclair, Domi, these are some of the best rookie stories thus far. But Dylan Larkin, not a lot of hype going into the season for him.
No.
But a player that I thought was absolutely dominant at the World Junior level, and I couldn't wait to see what he did in the context of the Detroit Red Wings. And having drafted him in our draft, this is great for me to see. I mean, it doesn't matter where they put him in the lineup, but at one point they moved him down to the second line to mix things up and get that group going, and that's exactly what happened there. So this is a guy that that generates and has quickly earned the trust of the coaching staff. And easily, I would have to say, Dylan Larkin, you are one of the better fantasy stories of this early season. Amazing, only 41% ownership according to this Yahoo stuff. So I know that can be a bit deceiving, but still, a bit on the low side. A guy that's available in our league that nobody's picked up that I can't believe is Troy Brower. And I know it's only Troy Brower, one of the least sexy plays in fantasy, but in the context of the Blues at right wing, where it can be tough to have a solid play, and he's not that much dough.
No, I'm actually juggling numbers as we speak.
Are you looking at him right now?
By the time we do this, the clicking, if you can't hear the clicking, he might be picked up by the end of the segment.
That's good. All right. Well, Troy Brower, just in our league at least, is the most productive free agent. And I'm sure he's available in some other leagues as well. Jason Spezza, hats off to you, ooh, sir. Yeah. And for folks that listen to the SiriusXM program, hats off to Nate McKinnon as well. Thanks, Nate, for showing up a year late. But great to see him looking dominant as well. A great story, in my view anyways. Personal reasons there. Bit of an axe to grind with McKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
But getting it done. Alexander Barkov, another great story. It's the guy that we talked a lot about on our program. And he is delivering. I mean, the Florida Panthers, I think, are a really interesting destination from a fantasy perspective. Dave Jaromir Jagr, not drafted in our league. I couldn't believe he was still sitting there after that 7-1 triumph they had to start the season.
He got picked up pretty quick after, though, right?
Yeah, I took him right after that. I couldn't believe he was sitting there still, and I snagged him up, snatched him up. And he's been burying again since, so happy for the Florida Panthers, and that's something we've been tracking, or I've been tracking for a while. Vincent Trocheck, a guy that we saw some real glimpses of brilliance from last season, and he's getting more opportunities this year, and he's delivering. Brendan Peary, another player that we followed last year, just basically a Cy Young candidate. All he did was bury, no assists, kind of unique, but he is also looking good, or at least decent in the early going here. Alice Hemsky, I can't believe that we're going to talk about Alice Hemsky, but you, my friend, are one of the better stories. And if you've watched some of the early going games for the Dallas Stars, you've seen that Janmark looks just amazing out there. He's been a generator for them, the guy picked up from the Detroit Red Wings, I believe in the Eric Cole trade. But Dallas Hemsky getting some looks with that young player, and he's looked really good. I know when you look at the stat line, you're going to go 6 points plus three. Yeah, but it's Alex Hemsky. Well, I can tell you, after doing the eye test, he looks like he's come to play. So,
and he's guilty by association because yeah, a lot of them are ready to play.
Yeah, he's in a good mix there. So hats off to him. And again, only 17% ownership in Yahoo leagues, according to Yahoo, so you'd have to think that in a few of your leagues he's going to be available. So if you've been skeptical and you're afraid to go there, I say don't be afraid. Be scared, but don't be afraid. Francois Beauchemin.
The Beauch.
Unbelievable. This dude, no matter where he goes, instantly earns the trust of the coach. Just tremendous savvy. And I know the five assists he's posted, that's not a realistic pace for a player like that, but he has gotten a couple looks on the power play, and he's got a couple of power play assists, Dave, and he does the greasy stuff. 24 block shots already for Francois Beauchemin. And if you look if you look at the league leaders, Dave, that makes him number one, the number one shot blocker in our fantasy league and in the NHL for that matter. Francois Beauchemin. And it's not even close, really. Ian Cole, Chris Tanev, Chris Russell, these guys.
Not fantasy
battling,
options, really.
Battling for second place, and he's way out front. They're in like the 17, 18 block shot range, and he's way out front. 24, what a pickup for the Colorado Avalanche from a hockey perspective. And if you've had him in the early going, I'm not sure why you would prioritize him necessarily. But, I mean, if you did, hats off to you as well, because that turns out was a real savvy move.
Savvy.
Now, speaking of the greasy stuff, tip of the toque to some of the masters of the grease, if I can get this to load. Thank you very much. Should be no surprise, Matt Martin, leading the league in hits, 28 through the early going here, Dave. A guy that doesn't get picked up in many fantasy leagues, but if you look at our league, for example, this is just an example, but he actually produces some fantasy points, I think as much as Rick Nash has at this point.
I believe so.
And that's because of the grease, the 28 hits, the odd shot on goal. The minus isn't great, but gotta love what that line brings intangibly. And if you're looking for the greasy stuff, he is leading the way right now. Ryan Garbutt, hats off to you, sir. Playing for the Chicago Blackhawks now. Getting some looks on that top line, too, Dave. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. But 10 shots on goal for Garbutt. 22 hits. But here's one that gets your attention if you're looking at your Dustin Byfuglien. Your owner, if you're owning Dustin Byfuglien right now, you're looking at him going, is it true that this guy's going to get moved? There's lots of chatter out there, Dave. Lots of chatter that Dustin Byfuglien could get moved by the Winnipeg Jets, a team that is pretty loaded on the blue line that could afford potentially to move Dustin Byfuglien if they got the right package back. And there he is, challenging for the lead in hits. He's got 2 goals. He's got a couple of assists. He's not a minus player. 17 shots. Dustin Byfuglien. Just racking him up once again, David. Can they afford to trade this guy? Can the Winnipeg Jets, a team...
No, with I don't think
so. ...serious playoff aspirations, can they afford to trade this guy? Michael Ferland, not necessarily a great story. It was a great playoff story. Not really happening. Doesn't have a great fantasy context. The Calgary Flames still not exactly lights out quite yet. Radim Verbata... You are an interesting story.
He's such a Radim Verbata.
You know, he is got to be one of the least sexy 30-goal scorers at your draft, at anyone's draft. I don't know. Maybe in Vancouver.
He is always available at some point in everybody's pool, everywhere.
He's the Tommy Plex of the West. But Radim Verbata, you have 25 shots on goal. That is near the most in the NHL. Taylor Hall is 29, which is the most. But Radim Verbata, you have 25 shots on goal. You have 0 goals, 0 assists, and a -3, sir.
Those are Patrick Sharp numbers.
So you'd have to think he's due. You would have to think that any minute now, we're going to see, whether it's on the power play, whether it's some looks. Well, Horvat's back with the kids, from what I understand. So I don't know. It's not a great start for Radim Verbata. But maybe that's a play. Maybe you go, if some guy's still sitting on him. Because apparently, 69% of people believe that Radim Verbata is going to snap out of this.
Verbatim.
Tyler Ennis, this was a sexy play for a lot of people at the start of this year. There was a lot of Tyler Ennis hype. Pretty much everything you opened, clicked on, bought at the magazine store said, Tyler Ennis, expect big things.
But he's a Buffalo.
He is a Sabre. So like many of the Sabre picks that were sort of hyped this year, you've got to temper your expectations based on what they're going to do as a team. And thus far, he's got 22 goals, which is a great number. That's right up there with Sagan. That's right up there with Plekanec. That's right up there with Foligno and Steen and Ryan Johansson. But he's got 1 goal. As does Oliver Ekman-Larsson, for that matter. But he is, again, a defenseman. Justin Falk, I think this is a great story. I want to talk about Justin Falk today, David. Carolina Hurricanes, right? No one wanted to go near the Hurricanes at the draft.
No.
Because everyone was like, okay, this team's joke, rebuilding. They still have stalls, so that can't be any good. And there's Justin Falk just being a beast. And if you turn on and watch one of those games, you'll see the guy is just a monster. They're just feeding it back to him, and he's just firing puck after puck at the net. He's got 21 shots already as a defenseman. Looking here at this list, I think only Johnny Boychuk is hanging with him. Johnny Boychuk, Brent Burns, who qualifies, Letang up there. But Justin Falk, 2 goals, 2 assists. He is not a minus play, and he's got a couple of power play goals. I had him for about 5 minutes in our league, and I regret dropping him. Frassier picked him up in our league. And there's your boy, Nick Ehlers. When we're looking at the shots on goal totals, Nick Ehlers, 20 shots on goal. Only one that's gone in, but you'd expect him to be increasing his productivity shortly, as you would Rick Nash. Once again, 20 shots
on
goal.
Holy moly.
And no goals for Rick Nash. So the haters...
Nine.
The haters have some fodder when it comes to the Rick Nash file. Dave, what's been your best surprise so far on your team? What's the thing that you're most happy about that you didn't expect to happen?
Anders Lee's pretty good. He's almost at 10 points, which is not bad for the beginning.
Yeah, he started so poorly, and now he's picking it up. He's been hot in the last few games, so there's a good play.
Ehlers is great. That's Ehlers. Sorry.
No, I'm no linguist.
Abdicator Justin's applicator.
Well, that's a great story, isn't it? Justin Abdicator. We talked about him a lot last year. Well, not you and I, David, but generally speaking, he was the subject of conversation quite a bit for myself and for Boomer last year on our fantasy radio show. And you got to love what's happened there. Isn't he the new Thomas Holmstrom? I mean,
the Holmstrom.
He's the new Tommy, right? So having those looks with Zetterberg and with Larkin, I mean, we would call that foxy by proxy in years past. Maybe we will again this year. I'm not sure.
It's a great term.
Remains to be seen. But that
hits.
That is what he is, man. And it seems like he's taking it seriously. He looks good out there. He's trusted. He can handle pretty much any situation now. And he's a genuine fantasy option.
Good plus minus. Great shots.
Yeah.
Value.
Timu Polkinen, many wondering if he could get into the mix this year. And Barry, which is what he does, obviously at the AHL level, having great success last year. I believe he led in goals despite missing a ton of time. And he's, what, Barry, 3 already for the Detroit Red Wings and only 13 shots. So doing what he does, not at a great rate yet, but he has as many goals as Tyler Seguin does, so it's not like the early returns for Polkinen have been bad. And as long as the coach is trusting him, as long as Blasio wants to run him out there and feel like he's not a liability defensively, he's going to continue to chip in. So I'm a little surprised that only 4% of the fantasy population is down with Polkinen, but according to Yahoo anyways. But so far, so good on the Polkinen file. Conversely, one of the guys that I thought would be money in the bank this year at the left wing position, and 70% of the rest of the Yahoo folks seem to agree, at least to a degree, Jaden Schwartz, the St. Louis Blues. David, no goals yet. This is a guy that I thought would be a lock for 30 this year.
I've had him in years past, and he's always been good.
Yeah, and it's not like he's got bad contacts. He's getting the good assignments. He's playing with quality players.
But St. Louis shares a lot of their points.
That's just it, right? It's not like you're going to get any one player aside from maybe Tarasenko now that is going to jump out in front of the rest of the players on the team. It's going to be pretty evenly distributed. Right now, he's getting some assists, but he's not scoring. So I would say if he was available on your waiver wire, I can't believe that he would be, but according to this, it appears he is somewhere. But if that's a trade you can make right there, that's somebody I would be targeting. I'd be looking at the owner of Jaden Schwartz and saying, yo, want to move this guy? And I'd make him a good offer, too. And you might be able to get your paws on a Jaden Schwartz. Another player we have to talk about today is Bo Horvat of the Vancouver Canucks. Nothing really happening yet for Bo. And that is why I would say get on the phone, call up his owner and say, yo, dog, trade me Bo Horvat. And give him something serious. Make him a good offer that's going to make him think about it immediately and get that deal done, because that is a player right there. I don't love the Vancouver Canucks this year, Dave, but if someone's willing to trade me a Bo Horvat, I'm taking it.
And someone's got to score goals.
And if you saw what he did at the end of last year, he was borderline, if not genuinely dominant for the Vancouver Canucks. So I don't want to think that this is his Nate MacKinnon year, if you will, sophomore year, but I would have to think, based on what I've seen from this player and the opportunities, despite the third-line context with the kids that he's currently got, I think Bo Horvat is someone y'all should be targeting out there. And on that note, David, I think we best wrap things up. Some goalies we wanted to mention. Martin Jones of the San Jose Sharks. Wow, what a great story early on. We all know how much success the Sharks are enjoying early. Martin Jones just getting it done. I mean, the numbers are absolutely ridiculous. And I know some people question whether or not he could even be a legitimate number one goaltender. But at this point, you have to think the people that took that risk are enjoying what's happening. 982 save percentage, just ridiculous. 0.49 goals against average, of course. Having four wins, and I believe he set a Sharks record for most consecutive minutes of shutout hockey as well. So, great stuff going on for people that drafted slash acquired Martin Jones. And, of course, Michael Neuwirth. How did we not talk about Michael Neuwirth? Now, Mason didn't deserve, at least in my view, a lot of the criticism that was thrown his way at points during last season. I certainly wouldn't go dumping criticism on Mason to start this year. I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt. I think he's a good goalie. But Michael Neuwirth, anytime you're going to step in and post a couple of consecutive shutouts like that, of course, going to get the attention of everyone, including people in fantasy leagues. So clearly want to monitor that situation and consider Neuwirth at least worthy of your radar love, so to speak. Jonathan Quick, Marc-Andre Fleury, Bobrovsky. Oh, almost bomb-worthy. I was considering bombing you, but not great stories to start the season, unfortunately. But I would have to think that the Los Angeles Kings are going to make some kind of move here, perhaps, to bolster their squad. And I would have to think that the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to find some success. I can't imagine this futility going on for much longer. They've put everyone together, it appears, on that top power play unit and doing some things that fans have been hoping they would do for a while. So give it some time there. But Bobrovsky and the Columbus Blue Jackets, I expected these guys to be a bit of a force, and maybe it was unrealistic to think that they would be that force wire to wire. But clearly early on here, Bobrovsky is not a number one goaltender for a winning fantasy roster. Would I be dumping him? Of course not. He's too good. You'd have to ride this out. You would have to think that this club is going to find its way through this. I'm hesitant to say that they will return to dominating. I've just not seen it yet, but Bobrovsky. Get her going, bud. Okay, the final segment I wanted to cover today. Some quick hits for the week. Some stuff not to be sleeping on. Goldobin in San Jose playing Monday night against the New York Rangers. So if you're looking for a daily hit, there you go. Don't sleep on Goldobin getting looks on the top line. Charlie Coyle, I know not huge numbers yet, but been a fan of this player for a while. And if you've seen the trajectory he's been on in the last season, through the preseason, just lit it up. And the early return's good there. Minnesota winning some hockey games, a bit up and down, but Charlie Coyle, I expect to ramp things up. Don't sleep on Jeff Petrie in Montreal. This team is winning hockey games, folks, and I think it's about 7 or 8% ownership, last I checked, in Yahoo. So, I mean, he's getting power play looks, he's getting power play results. They're paying him a lot of dough, so they're going to lean on him, too. And, you know, I think the feeling there is, you know, Bulio and Petrie can eat up some minutes that Markov, I'm sure, wants, but maybe shouldn't necessarily have. And Chara being back in the mix in Boston, I know people might think it's a given that he's owned, but it's not. It's like 50, 55% or something in Yahoo. So Zdeno Chara, I think, has 3 points in the three games he's played thus far, already looking good according to the coach. And Andre Sequeira in Edmonton, a story that was not a good one early on. Well, for anyone in Edmonton, really. But it seems to be McDavid's got it going now, and the goals are starting to come, and Sequeira's benefiting. He's right there in the mix. So if you're looking for help on the blue line, don't sleep on that one. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. I hope you found it add some value to your life in some respect. If anything, just to catch up. It's nice to talk some hockey again, and may your points be many. Thanks for tuning in. On behalf of our producer, Neva Chow, and myself, good luck, and hope you tune in next week.